When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name's Gavin Berry and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by the Record Sport Dream Team of Andy Newport and Fraser Wilson. And guys, we are going to have some fun on this podcast.
Please hear it. That's what life's all about, Gavin.
You ready for some fun?
Oh, I see where you're going with us. He's got an idea in his head and he's going with it.
Let's see how this turns out. Fraser, do you see what I did there?
Explain yourself, Gavin. There's going to be somebody that's going over their head.
Do you know what, Fraser? You can explain it because you were in the Celtic Park media room after Celtic 3-0 on Saturday and Brendan Rodgers said he was going to have some fun against Rangers. Andy, you were at Ibrox 24 hours later. Philip Clement, after Rangers beat Kilmarnock 4-1, had a wee nibble back and said it was disrespectful. So start with you, Fraser. Was Philip Clement right? Was Brendan Rodgers disrespectful to say they'll have fun at Parkhead when Rangers go there on Saturday?
That's an easy one, Gavin. No, he wasn't, I'm afraid. I suppose you maybe needed to hear the delivery. I've got to point this out. Having been in the room, sat no more than 5 yards from Rodgers when he said it, no disrespect at all in his delivery. He was clearly a happy, happy man with the way his team had performed against Hearts. It pains to point out how much he was looking forward to this is the pinnacle of the Premiership season, isn't it, this weekend? Mm-hmm. This is where one of the teams is going to take a massive, massive step towards the title with only 2 games left. And he was gushing for his team, and quite right, after a maybe a ropey opening 20 minutes where they got themselves 2 goals ahead, they looked like they'd clicked into top gear. So Brendan Rodgers was a very, very happy man. I mean, I've got it written down here, the context of what he actually said. He said, "We'll take nothing for granted and keep our composure. We have a lot of work to do in the week, get our plan ready, and then next Saturday we can have a bit of fun." I think it just means go out there knowing the whole stadium are behind them, mm-hmm, and they're in top form. But as we all know, anything can happen in an old fun game. But he's confident that his team can go out there, set their stall out, and finish the job. But what's wrong with that? He was responding actually directly to a question about their mentality and whether they were in the best mental space they've been this season. And of course, he's going to say aye, they are. Yeah. It's a game of football. There's a title at stake. Why not go out there and have fun? And I will say that Clement had the perfect response when he said, fine, we'll go out and have a bit of fun too. Because look, it's a game of football. It's an entertainment business. So yeah, both teams go out and have a bit of fun. That was a perfect response, I would say. But to maybe suggest there's a bit of disrespect in Rodgers' words, I just think it does give rise to folk claiming the pressure's maybe getting to Clement. I don't believe that. I don't think he's that type of character. He's a bigger and stronger than that. But I just think he was wrong in this situation.
Yeah,
all good fun anyway, isn't it? Gives us something to talk about. It's all good fun, as Rodgers would say.
Andy, has Philip Clement made a mistake by biting back and saying it was disrespectful? I mean, you were obviously in that room when he said that in the press room. Do you think it adds to the pressure? It makes it look as if he's under pressure? Or do you think he's even maybe using it as some kind of motivational tool for his own players? Whether that should be needed is a separate question.
I would be amazed if he didn't have that comment misinterpreted, as it may be, as Fraz is claiming. I would be amazed if he didn't have it up in the dressing room wall, because I mean, there's plenty of motivation for this Rangers team going to Parkhead. You know, there's a title, a treble on the line here. There's no shortage of motivation, but this is a Rangers team that time and time again we've had to question their character, and it's not because of any preconceived, you know, agenda against it. It's because when it comes to the crunch, this team more often than not tends to fold when the pressure's on, and we've seen that the last Old Firm game when they did tremendously well to come back from 2-0 down to salvage a draw, come back twice, but still that was a game that if they had anything really about them in terms of going on and taking this title race by the scruff of the neck, they'd have went and won that game. And then obviously the two games that followed, Dingwall and Dundee, again when the title race is still in their hands and they basically throw it away. So, they've certainly thrown their lead away. So, I think he's maybe using this just to get a wee bit of spite into them, a wee bit of nastiness in them, to get their hackles raised. Because if you just leave this team to their own to motivate themselves, I think they struggle. I think we've seen that. So, I think it's perhaps him trying to just add an extra dimension to it, just to get them to go, listen, you need to come out here, you can't just try and find your way into the game and trying to negotiate the first 10 minutes and just see where he takes you. This Celtic are going to come out next Saturday and they're going to be going for Rangers from the minute dot. We've seen it happen before when Rangers go to Celtic Park, they come out the traps, they fly at them, and more often than not, this Rangers team sort of tend to buckle early doors and they lose the first goal, and then they get nothing, they've not got any platform in which to work on. So this Rangers team needs to come out next week and be up for minute one. So I think that's maybe part of his thinking. I do tend to think that these kind of things can get overblown. I was just saying off camera beforehand, I tend to remember the Michael Beale thing with the lucky man comment about Ange Postecoglou, and I was at, as Fraz was there on Saturday, I was in that press conference when he said it, and it was the most banal throwaway comments. Well, Postecoglou leapt on and seemed to get no slight and was referencing it 6, 7 months, 9 months later. So
I think he was still going on about it when they lost.
Yeah, so listen, I know how managers can sometimes, they latch onto these things and they can blow them up, but maybe that's what Philippe Clement's doing. He's seen an opportunity there to try and get under the skin of his own players a wee bit, maybe just try and say, listen, this is what this is what the Celtic manager's saying about you. They're going to have fun with you. So they're going to write you next week. I mean, what he's going to do about that? I mean, I think that's really what he's trying to get into them. So
it's
interesting to see if they respond to it. I mean, listen, that is, we keep coming back to it. I mean, I think you were on the jury this week in the paper, Gav, and you were talking about just the fact that this team, character-wise, they haven't shown enough time and time again that when those questions have been asked them, they fail to come up with a response. So, listen, this is the biggest test of their character coming, the biggest test of their nerve. Going to Parkhead, zero away fans against a Celtic team that are, fair play to them, are starting to hit their straps right now. Yeah. Rangers, again, 4-1 victory yesterday, but convincing, not by a long shot. So this will be a real, if they can go there and get a win, it somehow breathes some life back into this title push. And then obviously Celtic have got to go to Killie on Wednesday, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So Rangers are at home to Dundee on the Tuesday and then Killie Celtic on the Wednesday, yes.
So I mean, listen, it's all there for them. They just have to go and prove it. But
yeah.
Question, that's the $64,000 question. Can they do it?
But Andy, on paper, Rangers 4, Kilmarnock 1 on Sunday. There was pressure there. Celtic had won on the Saturday. There was pressure there, especially as they go a goal behind. Obviously, Kilmarnock down to 10 men helps. But 4-1, so they kind of end the weekend the way they started. No real damage done. They would have been hoping, I suppose, it was a slip up by Celtic on the Saturday. But everything at full time, despite the 4-1, and Tom Lawrence scores a good goal, and there are things to like about it, I suppose. But all I see is from the majority of Rangers fans, when you talk to them or you listen to phone-ins or whatever it is, it's just a feeling of dread and no confidence that this team can go to Celtic Park and win. Yet you're saying it's there for them. Is it just because they've been let down so many times?
Yeah, there's scar tissue there, no doubt. How many times have Rangers either got a bit of momentum or got themselves in good position and it comes to the crunch, they need to beat a Celtic team. At the end of the day, they're the team to be shot at. And bar one season under Gerrard, they've not really did it anywhere at a consistent level. I mean, so, mm-hmm. you know, so was it one win over them last season? The season before, two wins. I think it was the Hollander goal and then obviously the Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
That season, you know, one draw. So there's nothing there in terms of these heads-to-head that would signal that Rangers are going to do it. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but there's just not that there's no body of evidence to suggest that they're going to go there and get a result. But you know, but that's what I'm saying. Come back to you. You know, if this team, if Clermont can get under their skin and can get them just to believe in themselves, then you know, of course they can do it. The games have been
tight
recently. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously 3-3. Obviously, even. You go back to the December game, 2-1, first game of the season, obviously. So that was finished 2-0. So I think it's
1-0, just a cue.
Yeah, big decisions that went against Rangers that day. So mm-hmm. I mean, so there's not much between the sides. I just think it's what I think gives Celtic the edge is just this. They do. I mean, they've wobbled at times this season, but they've come through it. Whereas Rangers have wobbled, come through it, then wobbled again, and then, you know, so it's just the consistency level, I think, as a concern. So, but I mean, like, even just what we were talking about yesterday's game, I mean, it's again, you're four games for the end of the season. There's goal difference at play here. I would expect Rangers to come out, absolutely try to blow Kilmarnock away early doors, get a goal, grab the ball, back to the centre spot, put it down, go again, and try and get as many as they could. And even, you know, like Tom Lawrence scores the third goal there, and you're thinking, like, there's a chance now, Kelly are flagging about, they're down to 10 men, there's a chance here to really rack up a cricket score and try and eat into that. And they celebrate their goal, they enjoyed it, and they sort of dawdled back to the halfway line, and you're like, are they grasping things that are still at play here? And that if they can go to Parkhead and win, that still might not be enough. You know, the goal difference is still vastly in Celtic's favour right now. So I'm just, again, these are just things that little warning signs that it says to me that, yeah, I think that the Rangers fans are probably right to be not pessimistic, but maybe have a wee bit of cautious apprehension.
Even worse than Tom Lawrence was Fabio Silva with equaliser in halftime. No, I mean, not only did he not grab the ball and run, but he actually used it for what looked like to have a go at the fans or something. I don't know. But, I mean, his celebration, you must think, what is he playing at? He's having a go back. I mean, considering his performances, you know, he's lucky he's not getting more stick. He should be apologising to the fans not having a go.
Yeah, I thought that was slightly petulant, if that was his intention.
Uh-huh.
Hard to read it any other way. As you say, I mean, it's a guy that has cost Wolves £35 million, and you're struggling to see any justification for that. I mean, I thought he started off okay when he came here, but his performances, along with the rest of the team, have dipped of late, and... that was, you know, listen, I just don't think that's something that's going to go down well with the Rangers fans, whether they're settled with it, everyone, you're sitting there trying to, if that is what his intention was, to sort of settle scores with the odd punter in the stand, give them sticks. So, I was a bit surprised by that one, I must admit.
Yeah, that celebration, it's kind of all about me, isn't it? Look at me. A kind of Ronaldo thing, but you need to carry the kind of class of Ronaldo to pull it off, and I don't think Fabio Silva's quite there yet.
that's an understatement. Fraser, Andy mentioned some stats there. I mean, let me just dig some of them out for you. I mean, one victory in 10 for Rangers over Celtic, and that was a dead rubber. We've got a piece on the website just talking about five things that Rangers have to do on Saturday. But another one we've got here is to score first. Rangers have scored first in just one of the last 11 games against Celtic, and that was in that dead rubber game. Even in the last meaningful victory against Celtic, the 2-1 Scottish Cup semi-final extra time win under Van Bronckhorst, that was more than 2 years ago. That was the last meaningful win. They still had to come from behind in that game. They scored first in the league game earlier that month, Aaron Ramsey, remember, very early on. But the last time Rangers scored first and went on to win a meaningful Old Firm derby was that Philip Hollander one that Andy referenced early. earlier, August 2021 under Gerrard.
That's
the last time they scored first in a meaningful game and won. I mean,
it's 4 managers ago. I mean,
you know, 4 managers ago. So really, scoring first. I know. Yeah. I know it's state the obvious, but
it's not really stating the obvious. It's so important, and I think if Rangers can cling to anything going into this game, it's been moments in the last two games where they have had Celtic rattled. If you go back to the New Year one at Celtic Park, 2-0 down, all hope gone, and then out of nowhere, Tavernier scores a beauty, a free kick. Celtic were rattled. If that game went on another 5 minutes, it looked like Rangers were going to grab an equaliser. Celtic were absolutely rattled all over the shop for the first time in that game. So, taking that into account, I know Celtic are in a slightly different place right now, but if Rangers can get their noses in front at whatever point of the game on Saturday, you've got to wonder what Celtic reaction would be. I mean, it's all right having 60,000 fans on your side, but if they're on your back, it becomes a very different thing. That's what Rangers have got to try and do.
Is this not the point, Fraser? You talk about the moments that they've had Celtic rattle, but it's always too late. It's always when they're sort of, you know, they're already trailing,
that is my point, mate, because they were dead and buried again at Ibrox last month. Somehow found the resolve to come out after half-time, completely turn the tables in Celtic, get themselves back level, and we're the better side in the second half. So if they can just start the game better, get their noses in front, I'm agreeing with Gav.
Did you listen to Roy Keane said yesterday after the Liverpool Spurs game, and he's talking about, you know, like obviously Spurs almost sort of pulled it back at the end, got a couple of goals back after going 4-0. He's like, well, it's easy to play it 4-0 down because opposition stop sprinting as hard, they stop closing you down as hard because they're coasting, and that's what Rangers are done. When Celtic think that they've got the points wrapped up, their intensity drops a wee bit, and that maybe allows Rangers to come back into it. But what Rangers need to do is go out and not just match Celtic's intensity, beat it. They need to go there and chase them off the pitch. Whether they can do that, I'm not sure. But I think any time you've seen this Celtic team struggle this season, it's when the teams have been prepared to go toe-to-toe with them, match them physically, match them in the press, try and, you know, stop them playing out. You know, listen, it's a risky strategy because when Celtic are at it, they're more than capable of popping around it. But if they have a slight off day, that's the way to beat them. But it's whether or not Rangers are going to be bold enough. I mean, we saw at the start of the season, Michael Beale basically sat off Celtic, allowed them to come to Ibrox with no fans and have all the ball. And that was utterly the wrong thing to do. You know, Clement goes to Parkhead and tries to get a wee bit more in their faces, but, you know, obviously, it's individual mistakes in the day that cost them. You're thinking opportunities they missed, Dessa going through in the goal. When, you know, if he takes that, then that could have been a sort of major turning point for this team. But, you know, Rangers are going to have to go there. They're going to have guys full of belief. I mean, we saw signs that Dessa's is, you know, fair play to the guy. You know, he gets a lot of knocks, but he comes back. But again, at the weekend there, that was as bad as he's been for a long time. You know, the chance where he just needs to shoot. He's 6 yards out, he's got a chance to shoot, and he tries to cut back inside on his weaker foot, bizarrely. So I just find, you look at, you know, I thought Lawrence in the last Old Firm game was quite disappointing. The positive for Clement will be that he looked like he was really up for it at the weekend, comes off the bench, scores a cracking goal, has a hand in the fourth goal as well. But then again, you're just looking, you know, you're going to have to go. Looks like Ben Davies might have to go and start an Old Firm game, having played 45 minutes in the last 5 months. Fair enough, comes on, gets a crucial goal yesterday. But, you know, is that really the best preparation to go to a title decider effectively at Parkhead? So, you know, is there enough guys in this Rangers team that are playing well enough that they will have that belief, that confidence, that self-assuredness that when they go into the... Steven Gerrard didn't like calling it a Lions Den, but it's going to be pretty ferocious. Are they going to be able to go in there and handle that? I mean, have they got the nerve that can withstand everything that's going to come crashing down upon them? So they're all the big questions. We all need to wait and see. I think that, as I say, the body evidence before it said no, that they're probably not going to do it. And I think that's, as you say, Gav, why there's not this sort of groundswell of optimism coming. You see, potentially about four games away for a treble, but it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like it's the support that does that.
Absolutely. It's last chance saloon, which sometimes can work in your favour. They've got zero option but to go there and go toe-to-toe with them. Saw Aberdeen do it 2 weeks ago in the Scottish Cup semi-final and come within a penalty kick of winning that game. So Rangers need to go toe-to-toe and have every player absolutely on point. Decision-making, energy levels, can't have John Lundstrom looking leggy in the middle of the park. Diamandé never looks leggy, but he needs to make the right decisions. They just need to be spot on. And by the way, I've watched Celtic twice this month in the semi-final, then again at the weekend. They can be got at down the flanks in particular. Aberdeen did it twice. And again, Hearts had plenty of opportunities in that first half at Parkhead to show that Celtic defence can be caught at. They don't like cross balls thrown into the box, despite having Cameron Carter-Vickers there. They can be liable down the wings. So Rangers have to go there and give it their best shot. There's nothing else for it. They can't sit back and hope. They have to go for it and make sure every player in light blue on that pitch at the weekend is absolutely on their game. And they'll have a chance. Look, it's a basket case in an Old Firm game, innit? Mm-hmm. Every derby is like that. So you can never write them off.
Andy, I see James McFadden and Chris Sutton on Sky Sports after the Kilmarnock game were sort of debating. They had differing views on Cantwell and Lawrence. McFadden seemed to favour Lawrence in a bit more quality, saying Cantwell was more press and bringing more energy and endeavour. What do you think of who do you think is the better option in the number 10 role? Also, what do you think about three in midfield for a bit more solidity in there? Could you move Sterling in? Do you then lose something from the attack if you do that? Maybe because you might have to sacrifice a Cantwell.
I'd certainly be putting Sterling back into the engine room. I just think that's his most naturally effective position. I think his athleticism in there, his ability to pressure opponents. I actually think his range of passing in that sort of area of the pitch is quite effective. I think he's underrated in that sense. I'm not sure, well, he's not a natural winger at all. Yeah, I think he's done an okay job there filling in, but I think that's only because Rangers don't have another worthwhile option playing out there. Ross McCausland at times has done okay.
Yeah.
The kid hasn't really kicked on, I suppose, the way that some would have hoped. Scott Wright just hasn't sort of lived up to any sort of hopes that Steven Gerrard would have had for him when they brought him in 3-4 years ago. I'm just trying to think who else you could even play out there. I mean, you know, Kamara played there a lot the first season, but he's nowhere near fit enough. I can't remember last time we've seen him on that right-hand side. So, listen, it's been a needs must with Dujon Sterling out there. But for me, I think he's most effective in the middle. I think, you know, if Lundstrom, as it looks like he's going to be leaving in the summer, I think he's the natural sort of replacement to stick in there. Just in terms of the 10, I mean, the frustrating thing with Cantwell is he's undoubtedly talented and I think he's got great qualities. It's just his ability, again, to display them. I think Callum McGregor's had the absolute number on him the last few Old Firm games. Mm-hmm. And he's got... I worry that part of... He gets sucked into these games a wee bit much. I know I'm talking about there needs to be a wee bit of spite about this team. I think he's maybe the opposite. He needs to take some of that emotion of the game out of it because mm-hmm. he's drawn into things. And I think that takes away from his game. I mean, I think you saw against Hearts in the semi-final what he's capable of when you just get him focusing on coming up with end product. And I think that's the thing that that needs to be his main focus going into this game is end product, assists, goals. I don't think he does enough of that for a guy in that position in this Rangers team. I could understand if Clement was to go with Tom Lawrence this weekend on the basis that he came off the bench. He looked really sharp when he came off the bench, obviously getting the goal, having a hand in the fourth goal. His confidence will be high off the back of that. And he also offers that a bit more of a physical presence compared to Cantwell. But I just thought the last Old Firm game, he was so ineffective. I don't know if that was a fitness thing. I don't know if that was just a legacy of the fact that the whole team was sort of starting to slide at that moment. But I thought he didn't really offer all that much in the last Old Firm game, and I felt Cantwell coming on was one of the sort of catalysts for Rangers sort of getting a grip in the game in the last sort of half an hour. So I'd be surprised if he was to drop Cantwell, but I would think it would have to be Cantwell would have to really come up and have his focus utterly on the game. He can't be allowing himself to get sucked into sort of wee spats with Callum McGregor's we saw and all that sort of stuff. He has to go out there purely with a mindset of creating. If not, I think if Callum doesn't get that sense that this is what he's where his head's at, I think he would go with Lawrence. But I would be surprised in that sense.
Seema's obviously a big miss, and Rabbi Matondo picked up his award on Sunday. He got goal of the season for that goal against Celtic, of course, that got the draw in the 3-0 draw last month. Matondo, he's talking up his chances, but I mean, whether he could throw him in, I don't know, given his kind of lack of fitness to go straight into a game like that. But Andy, just to touch on you talking about moving Sterling from the right into the middle, when I see that discussed, a lot of people make the point that Sterling helps James Tavernier on that side with the threat of Maeda, because we know how many problems Maeda has caused Rangers, you know, in recent derbies. Is there an argument to see if you move Sterling in, Tavernier is more exposed?
I don't know, because I think if you look back to the sort of Old Firm games under the sort of Gerrard era, the fullback cover didn't really come from the wingers in front. It came from the sitting midfielders inside. Mm-hmm. It was Kamara and we've been Ryan Jack at that time. Their job was to do the screen sideways as opposed to looking. But it also obviously depends on the tactical tweaks that come. But you know, I think Sterling can still do that. I think he can still go and sit in that sort of deep anchor pocket on the right hand side and still be shifting across to back up Tavernier. I think there's an argument you could say that if you're really that concerned, you would just put, you just swap Sterling and Tavernier about, put Sterling at right back and put Tavernier one further forward. That's not something that's been tried for a while, so I wonder if that might get a wee airing this weekend.
I wonder if Clement listens to this.
The press conferences, I doubt he listens to this nonsense.
Is that right? Fraser, I know you'll side with the keeper here, but that was a fifth penalty miss for James Tavernier against Kilmarnock there in Sunday. It was his fifth penalty miss. And a lot of them recently.
Fifth this season.
Sorry?
Fifth this season.
Third in the last. It's his third miss in the last seven.
Oh, there you go. Here's the stats.
Not five penalties.
No, that's him. But, I mean, to be in his defence, I mean, it was some save by Will Dennis, wasn't it?
Sorry, fourth in his last seven, I beg your pardon.
Both in his last seven, okay, and five this season. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, obviously, he has got this great record. But it seems to be actually when he goes higher, he's got a better success rate. No.
No goalie saves a top corner penalty.
No.
You need to have, look, Matt O'Reilly's at the weekend against Hearts. Tavernier's in the last Old Firm game was the perfect penalty.
That was the one that, yeah.
Pressure penalty, perfect execution.
No goalie. You ever read the book, Inverting the Pyramid? It's a good stats book about football, and they said basically,
riveting,
the best place to stick a penalty is the top corner in terms of they don't get saved, but they're obviously technically the most risky because you're risky that flying it wide or over. So there you go.
I just think Tavernier's got the execution that he can be pretty precise in that top corner. I mean, to do it under that pressure against Celtic, Ibrox last month proved it. So surprised to see him going low, but he does mix them up, doesn't he? Well, if you're going to go low into the bottom corner, the goalie's basically got a 33% chance of saving it, I would say. But it was still a crack save because he struck it well, Tavernier, didn't he? There was plenty behind it. So it was a really solid right arm for Will Dennis.
I just thought it was a great save rather than a poor miss.
It's funny when you think of those misses, you're probably going to correct me because I'm just saying this off the top of my head, but I can't think of many penalty misses that have like proved costly. They've always been in games, sort of. Yeah, was one of them though? In fact, one was the Scottish Cup, wasn't it? Against Hibs, were launched from
David Marshall saved two of them. I think there was another one. No, since the start, I think you had a closer one at the start of the season, but I can't remember what.
But anyway, Fraser, if Rangers are awarded a penalty on Saturday, you would have known. There's only one man taking it, isn't there?
Oh, why would you change it? Aye. Look, I was astounded at that stat you gave us there, Gavin. Missed five this season.
Well, Andy said 4 in the last 7.
Yeah, so he's he's 3 in the last 7. I beg your pardon.
You're all over the place. He should have missed any.
I've got him here. So he missed obviously one yesterday. He missed one in March the 30th against David Marshall, 3-1-1.
Yep.
He missed March the 10th, was the Scottish Cup game at Easter Road, where he missed, where I think it was Lundstrom followed in, get the rebound. He missed against Livingston back in November.
He missed against Hearts,
that was end of October. So, and all of them Rangers won, so none of them were costly this season. I think there was a couple games last year that proved to be costly, but... not this season, so.
Why would he change if us? I mean, that, again, will be the ultimate pressure penalty if they get one at Parkhead this weekend. Why would he change? I'm not telling Joe Hart to swing for the bar, but I reckon Tavernier would go high again. To answer your question, Gav, only one man for that job, despite missing again at the weekend.
I mean, who else did you go to? I think the only other player this season that's taken a penalty for Rangers is Dessers. And let's be honest, with the Rangers support, if it's a last-minute penalty to win the game, they really trust in Sidio. I mean, he did score for Nigeria recently, but I'm not sure.
He did. You're right.
Butland do a Joe Hart. Have a bit of fun and send Butland up.
In fact, just on that note, to end Fraser Jack Butland, pip to the PFA Scotland Player of the Year Award by Lorne Shanklin, just to finally, from both of you, whoever you voted, Scottish Football Writers, of course, are still to be announced. That'll be announced later in the month. Shanklin, deserved winner, or should it have been Butland?
It was a Shanklin Butland 1-2, so
for you,
actually. Yeah. To do that two seasons in a row, to be the top scorer in the Premiership, out with the Old Firm. He has hit a bit of a dip recently. I think he admitted that himself. But over the piece, 28 goals again for the club. That crucial equaliser for Scotland against Georgia when he was flung on. Fantastic season. I think maybe Butland and Tavernier maybe would have split their vote. I heard somebody suggest that. Suggest that to split the Rangers vote a wee bit, which maybe went against Butland slightly, but I think
you've got a player like Shanklin who is accounted for something ridiculous like 58% of their league goals or something like that.
I think it's higher, is it not higher?
Might be so, but I mean, where would Hearts be without him? I mean, it's a bit the same with Majovski. I thought Majovski was hard done by not to at least make the short list in the sense that. If you take his goals out of that Aberdeen side, they're in big trouble. So, just in terms of one guy having such a huge effect in his team and them having a successful season, I thought
I remember in November doing a piece where Hart's second top scorer was own goal. So, that's how important it was at that stage of the season. But of course, since then, they've clicked into gear. But there's so much more to Shanklin's game as well now, despite what people say, other than goals. No drop deep, link and play. So powerful.
I'm not sure it would be my pick to start against Germany at the Euros, but I'd certainly have I think we might need the physicality of Dykes against Germany, but I would certainly think that he would be in a shout of starting against Hungary and Switzerland and the Euros this summer, because I just think they're going to games, we're going to need a goal, and he's exactly the... Of the three striking options Scotland have got, he's the one I would hang my hat on first.
Sorry to go off topic here, but you say Dykes, so Dykes over Shea Adams?
For the Germany game, yeah.
No. Right, okay. Fraser, for you?
No.
Who starts?
So disappointed in Dykes against, was it Northern Ireland in the last? Mm-hmm. And I'm a massive Lyndon Dykes fan. Don't know, I started scoring a couple for QPR again. Eh? It's a tough one, that.
I just think it's a game that we're not going to have an awful lot of the ball, and you're going to need somebody to give you just...
Shanklin's got a
physicality
as well, mate. But I'm with you.
I think you need somebody with all round, just a runner, a dog up front.
Yeah.
Somebody to drag you up the pitch or win your fouls. And I'm just not sure that's.
I think
Shanklin, I like him off the ball, or certainly in possession out of the box now. I think he's come on leaps and bounds there. And I think he's such a tidy, intelligent player. He's going to be important when we've got the ball. That's where we'll see him at his best when Scotland are able to have spells with their in possession. I think against Germany, we're just going to, it's just going to be a battle, a running. We're going to need a dog up front that's just going to run for us all day. And I think that's maybe why Dykes would get my nod.
If he can produce the kind of performance they did against the Denmark and Spain, where he does drop deep and he's good with the wee balls round the corner, you know, taking the ball in, playing around the corner, I think it's hard to disagree with Andy in that one. I think he's a tried and tested. I think Clark almost hinted at that last week as well. He was at pains to repeatedly say never underestimate the impact Lyndon Dykes and Shea Adams have had in the Scotland team. So, perhaps I would go with Lyndon Dykes as well.
Okay. Right, brilliant, guys. Thank you very much, as always, for your time. And we'll see how it goes on Saturday and reconvene next week. Thank you.
Cheers, Trips.
Enjoy. Bye. Have some fun.